The Roman Gabriel Show.
That's my son, Weston. He was my firstborn son. Truly had a heart of gold, compassionate. He's something that, you know, we can't teach. He had an innate compassion for others. So, a lot of friends, good at school, football, hockey, surf, skiing, and, you know, we gave our kids a really fun life, vacations. We went to church twice a week, Sundays and Wednesday night. My kids were Christian school educated. And when he was a freshman in high school, second semester, he decided he wanted to go to public school, which is a very different experience, I feel like, from Christian school. But so he wanted to fit in with, you know, the crowd. And social status to kids is worth money and gold, you know, your weight in gold. So, and as many conversations that I have had with Weston about the dangers of drugs and to never try anything that someone gives him that could be, you know, laced with something that could kill him. And he knew that. My son did not experiment with fentanyl. Somebody gave him something to try, and they said it was one thing. It was fake. It was counterfeit. Had no pharmaceutical qualities to it whatsoever. It was pure pressed powder sprinkled with fentanyl. He tried a quarter of a pill. Apparently all the fentanyl is on that side because there's a chocolate chip cookie effect. You know, just don't know where the chocolate chips are going to be. And he got the deadly side. You know, it makes me sad because this was not going to happen to our family. We had a beautiful life. We lived in ocean views in our backyard and guard-gated golf course community, private schools. I was so involved. I was room mom. I did the Christmas boutique at school. I did all of the parties in the kids' classrooms. I wanted to be near my kids all the time. I was at all the sports events. I did, you know, I was completely involved getting the kids together for play dates. And, you know, I was so involved. And this was not going to come into my house. No way. So I am that mom that can attest that I assure you this could happen to your child.
The Roman Gabriel Show.
Welcome to the Roman Gabriel Show. Welcome to the Roman Gabriel Show. Faith, family, sports. Roman goes up close and personal with high-impact difference makers from the world of sports and entertainment. Get more exclusive content at www.romangabrielshow.com.
Welcome to the Roman Gabriel Show, romangabrielshow.com. Remember to follow us anywhere that you get podcasts, as well as on American Family Radio podcast, Roman Gabriel Show at afr.net. We have a really special show for you. If you listen to us, hear us on YouTube at Roman Gabriel Show or any of our outlets, you know that my heart through our foundation, the Soul.U Foundation, is to educate students, parents, and schools to the dangers of fentanyl, and to make sure that everybody out there understands the number one killer of 18 to 48-year-olds in our country, the number two killer of 13 to 17-year-olds. And as of 2023, we've also got a situation where 5 to 14-year-olds that deaths from fentanyl are up 1,400%, and the majority of those are accidental deaths. And remember to go to soldouttv.com, click on fentanyl education, and you and your family can get all the information that you need. With me is a mother of four. You probably saw her if you watched the Republican National Convention. Her name's Ann Funder. She lost her son at 15, Weston, behind her to accidental ingestion of the poison fentanyl through a fake fentanyl pill, which is the way that many, many of our children are losing their lives today. And unfortunately, many of our parents because of lack of education. So, Ann, welcome to the Roman Gabriel Show. We so appreciate you coming on, and we're looking forward to letting everybody know out there how important this is to be educated on, and as a parent like yourself, to let other parents know that they can protect their children, but it's going to take vigilance. So thanks for coming on the Roman Gabriel Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Ann, first of all, for those that didn't see the Republican National Convention or know who you are, please let people know who you are and about your son, Weston, behind you, so we can learn a little more about your family.
Well, that's my son, Weston. He was my firstborn son. Beautiful personality, sweetest kid. He had a heart of gold. Truly had a heart of gold. Compassionate. He's something that, you know, we can't teach. He had an innate compassion for others. He really felt for other people. He was always standing up for to do what's right for people. A lot of friends. Good at school. Football, hockey, surf. He just really had a complete life. Did a lot of really fun things, camping, and you know we gave our kids a really fun life: vacations, Disneyland, all the things that kids love. We went to church twice a week, Sundays and Wednesday night. The kids were Christian school educated, and when he was a freshman in high school, second semester, he decided he wanted to go to public school, which is a very different experience, I feel like, from Christian school. It's a lot bigger, much bigger, probably 10 times bigger. And I feel like a little bit more wild. So he wanted to fit in with, you know, the crowd. And social status to kids is worth money in gold, you know, your weight in gold. So it's the most important thing to them. And as many conversations that I have had with Weston about the dangers of drugs and to never try anything that someone gives him that could be, you know, laced with something that could kill him. And he knew that. Peer pressure is what ended up getting to my son. He did not experiment with fentanyl. The other day I did, for the Trump campaign, I did a press conference. And that's what the press took away from everything I said, which I said quite a bit. The one thing that they published about me is that my son Weston had experimented with fentanyl. And I just want to be very clear to everybody out there that that couldn't be further from the truth. It's a bold-faced lie. My son did not experiment with fentanyl. Somebody gave him something to try, and they said it was one thing. It was fake. It was counterfeit. Had no pharmaceutical qualities to it whatsoever. It was pure pressed powder sprinkled with fentanyl. He tried a quarter of a pill. Apparently all the fentanyl is on that side because there's a chocolate chip cookie effect. You know, just don't know where the chocolate chips are going to be. And he got the deadly side. And it took his life. And this was a poisoning. He was poisoned to death, deceived to death.
And let's make it clear to our audience out there, to moms and dads, and that the DEA has made it very clear that 7 out of 10 of these fake pharmaceutical pills that are targeted online. And let me tell you, parents, you need to be paying attention on social networking and what your kids are doing, because Snapchat, TikTok, they're actually marketing these fake fentanyl pills to our children through their phones. And not just children, but parents, adults are dying out there because they might be ordering a Xanax that they think is a Xanax online, or a college student may be ordering something to help them stay up during studies. So we're not talking about drug addicts as Anne's talking about. We're talking about poison that can be in a fake pharmaceutical pill. 7 out of 10 of those pills are laced with fentanyl, according to the DEA. 42% of those 7 have enough to kill you. So we're talking about something that's a dangerous poison that kids like Weston and others don't know what's in it. We had 5 children in Virginia at a grade school here up the road who, through gummy bears, ingested fentanyl, 5 of them, and they were hospitalized. We've had situations where in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Albuquerque Public Schools, they tested the water table. There's traces of fentanyl in the water table. We've had DEA agents who have told me that they've interrupted potatoes, for example, coming into a regional grocery store network, that they found fentanyl before they were shipped to your retailer. It can be taken in through the nose if it's powerful enough. If a friend of Weston was with him and he touched that same pill and it had enough fentanyl, it could kill you by going through your sweat glands. So what Anne is saying here is, yes, there's a fentanyl drug problem with those that are hooked on fentanyl. What we're talking about here is innocent young grade school, middle school, high school, and college kids who are ingesting this unknowingly in something that it's in, like Weston. So let me say this, and to the parents that are out there, to a parent who says this wouldn't affect my child's too good to do something like this. I don't want to talk about it because I can't think about what might happen. Talk to the parents out there about, you just said that you even educated him to try to warn him about this, which many other parents I've talked to have tried to talk to their kids. Peer pressure is powerful. So could you talk to moms and dads out there about what they should be doing if they've got a child between the ages of 5 and 21?
You know, it makes me sad because this was not going to happen to our family. We had a beautiful life. We lived in ocean views in our backyard and guard-gated golf course community, private schools. I was so involved. I was room mom. I did the Christmas boutique at school. I did all of the parties in the kids' classrooms. I wanted to be near my kids all the time. I was at all the sports events. I did, you know, I was completely involved getting the kids together for play dates. And, you know, I was so involved, and this was not going to come into my house. No way. So I am that mom that can attest that, I assure you, this could happen to your child. But as far as, and I'm sorry, I kind of missed
no,
what
what
you
I
asked.
was what I was going to say
peer
is,
pressure. Yep,
what
I
would
got
you
it.
what would you say to moms today about how they can do all they can do right now, and what they can do to make sure that, you know, we can't 100% guarantee anything because our kids make choices, but what can moms do right now and dads do to make sure that they give their children every bit of what they need of what you're talking about today?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is, you know, talk to your kids, make sure that they know that these pills look identical, seem identical, that you should never take anything that someone gives you. I don't care how much peer pressure is being, you know, put on you. If you, you know, like the girl, you know, on the other side of the room that's doing it, and she's going to think you're stupid if you don't. Well, it's better to think that you're, for her to think that you're stupid. I don't care if it messes up your entire high school career. It's only three, you know, a few, 4 years long, and in 4 years, you'll still be alive. But if you try it in that instant because you want to impress somebody, or you like someone, or you want to impress the guy that is, you know, the big kingpin at the school, then, you know, you could die. And if you're not going to die, you're going to be addicted. So once you take fentanyl, it's not a matter of if you're going to die, it's when. And we'll get into that. But the biggest thing that I tell parents is, because I did preach, don't ever try anything, because Dana Hills was known as Dana Pills. So he knew better. But what I didn't arm him with, because he was such a confident kid, he was very sure of himself. You know, you couldn't get him to do things if you didn't want to do it. So I didn't think he would be susceptible to peer pressure. And peer pressure is probably a life-saving issue for fentanyl deaths in children. Please run scenarios with your kids. Please role play with them. Say, if somebody says this, what are you going to say? Here, let's talk about how we can give you an out. How can we, you know, somehow, you know, without you feeling, you know, pressured, how can we get you out of this? Because I'm going to tell you something. These drug dealers are a different generation. They are trained very well. They're manipulative. They speak your kids' language. They're hanging out with the high school kids. They make friends with them, and the kids think they're cool because they're a little bit older and they can get stuff, you know, alcohol, whatever it may be. And if they can get your child to try fentanyl one time, it's going to be free. That's all it takes to hook your child. It is 50 times more addictive than crack, which in the 80s and 90s, we heard that crack, once you try it one time, you are addicted. This is 50 times more addictive. And if you try fentanyl one time, it is not a matter of if you're going to lose your child. It is a matter of when they're going to die. And I say that heavily. Do not take that lightly. Without severe, and I say severe, intervention, because it rewires their brain immediately. They're going to want it again in 2 to 3 hours. They're going to have withdrawal symptoms that make side effects of chemotherapy look like a picnic in the park, cold sweats, fevers, headaches that make it seem like something like an anvil is on your head, bone aches, muscle aches, nausea, possible vomiting, diarrhea, intestinal issues, body just aches in general. And it is excruciating for someone who's never been through anything like that. And that drug dealer is going to be right there with a predatorial attitude saying, like a groomer would, like a sexual predator who's a groomer would say to your child, you've done something wrong. And if you tell your parents, you're going to get in trouble and you're going to get me in trouble and I'm going to go to jail. And then all these kids are going to, you know, anyone here is probably going to get in trouble. And it's all going to be your fault. But if you just take a little bit more, I can help you through it. And they get your child hooked. And so what's happening is you're dealing with a child who now has an addiction that they never asked for just because they wanted to fit in for a moment. And this is where you see all these, you hear about all these people are like, they find their kids dead in bed, their safe haven where they should be laying their head at night.
Yeah. Anne Funder with us on right here on the Roman Gabriel Show, RomanGabrielShow.com. And all the statistics point to, and this is a big statistic, that if you do have the conversation you're talking about on an ongoing basis with your children in grade school, when they're younger, at a young age, then they're 50% less likely to try drugs and alcohol in high school. That's how important this ongoing conversation is. The other thing to understand is, you know, I have parents that tell me, well, I don't want to talk to my kids at that young age. That might, you know, instill them to think about possibly doing it. But the problem that we have is most parents, a lot of parents out there are giving their son or daughter a cell phone at fourth and fifth grade. And they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart to say, here's a safety item. If you need me, you know, call me. If you're in trouble, I need to know. But at the same time, they don't understand that they're turning over a device that opens them up to what you just said, to cartels, drug dealers, to intentional marketing on social networks like Snapchat.
And addiction.
And addiction. Exactly. So you have three other children. How old are they?
9, 12, and 14. When Weston died, they were 6, 10, and 12.
So what has been the fallout as a parent in terms of helping your other three children to deal with this, and how have they done in terms of the response to this?
I mean, it's just tragic everywhere you look. We were a great family, you know. Weston was their leader. And I had this conversation since he was 5. And it didn't make him want to do it. I would point out someone on, you know, lived in California, it's homeless people everywhere. And I would point out someone who was talking to themselves and say, would always say, this is why you never do drugs, ever. Because some, you know, some people have ruined their brains. And it's very easy to teach kids by giving them examples. Like, what a shame that person, you know, probably could have had a great life, but look at him, he's talking to himself and he's soiled. That's why you never do drugs. So it's okay to start talking to your kids at an early age about why you shouldn't do drugs and the effects, how they can get brain damage and everything else.
And so that I've had the opportunity to talk to parents like yourself all over the country who have lost children. Yeah. I've met them at schools. I've met them at events that we put on. Unfortunately, I'm here to tell our listeners and parents that this is happening all over the country. And one of the things, I was in California about a year ago at a fundraising event in Irvine. And we were at a gentleman, well-to-do gentleman with kids in high school, and he was hosting this event. And he asked me what I did, and in short form, he looked at me and he said, this is going on here in this city, in my
son, Orange County,
in their school.
Heavy.
And he said, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Are you surprised as you meet people, as you're in your circle of friends, as you're traveling the country, meeting other parents, of how little people know about this?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know much about it. I'd heard that it could kill everyone in America 7 times over. I used to talk about it when I would go. So I was politically active before. So I also used to be on, you know, once a week. And I would talk about fentanyl. But it was not going to happen in my home. There was a girl in the town next to us who died, that was a young girl in high school. And you always attribute it to what was going on. You know, or how did that happen? But it's not going to happen to you. So Orange County is very riddled with drugs. Number one, you have a transient, you know, the whole entire coast of California is very transient. You have homeless people everywhere. And sometimes they have kids. There are IV drug users. There's needles everywhere. There's, you know, there's billionaires mixed in there who have houses on the beach. And so, you know, it's just an odd combination. But, you know, these kids are all friends, of course. And you might have one that's susceptible to being able to get drugs easily, and another one who has a lot of money. And, you know, these kids are throwing penthouse parties at, you know, the Hard Rock Cafe Hotel in San Diego. And sometimes
let's make it clear, Ann, that fentanyl fake pills can be as low as 50 cents. So yeah. You don't have to be rich to get it. This is what makes it so dangerous is that anyone can access very inexpensively these fake fentanyl pills. So when let's talk about, and it's Ann Funder right here on the Roman Gabriel Show, RomanGabrielShow.com. So tell me about how it came about that the Trump campaign and the Republican Party for the Republican National Convention contacted you. How did that come about to ask you to come speak to the Republican National Convention about Weston and about the fentanyl issue from a mom's perspective?
Well, we had taken some time after Weston died to travel for a little bit, regroup as a family, because my kids, like I said before, he was their leader and he was very close with all of them. And so we took some time, made it out to where we grew up on the East Coast. And we had buried Weston on the East Coast in our hometowns, because we didn't know if he'd stay in California forever, wanted to be able to visit him. We always knew we'd come back home to home base. And when we got here, it just seemed like a good fit for us to stay. And then I hadn't been politically active for a while. I was just still trying to pick myself up off the ground and try to figure out how I'm going to exist in this world without my son. And my friend had told me that the mayor of her town, you know, was talking to her about this group called Moms for Liberty. And I still have three living kids. At the time I was homeschooling, I'm not going to put my kids back in public school, but she said that she's going to open a chapter with somebody else. And I said, what's Moms for Liberty? And I heard about it, and I, you know, kind of started to research it. And then she said, you know, they're going to be here to do a chapter training. And I said, well, maybe I'll open a chapter here in my county. And I did, and it was open. So I started the process of opening it. So I opened it in Moms for Liberty chapter. So through Moms for Liberty, one of the chapter chairs there the Trump campaign had reached out and said, do you know anyone whose family has been through tragedy due to open borders? And right away she thought of me and submitted me. And, you know, I submitted the video of my story, and the rest was history. I had no idea how big it was. I didn't realize that the RNC was going to be televised on. They said to me, are you comfortable speaking in front of about, you know, 5,000 people and 33 million people? And I was like, I guess, you know, it was a little scary. I've been in media before, so that's a lot of people. I didn't think I realized the gravity of how big it was until I stepped foot on the stage and there was President Trump sitting in front of me. And I absolutely love him. He's just incredible for this country. And I'm going to fight. I feel like, and I want to say this because I was really having a struggle with life, and I still am. This is not easy. You question God, why would you do this? It was the first time my faith was really rocked for a little while. And right before the RNC opportunity, I said, you know what? I really need to have God back in my life. And I kind of said a little prayer, like, because I've said some not so nice things to God these past couple of years, but I know
you can handle it.
And kind of recommitted myself. I said, it's not working. It just seems like one bad thing after the next keeps happening. And maybe I just need to get back to center. And that's when this opportunity came. And it made me so mad when people would tell me, your son had a purpose. There's a reason. We don't understand why God does what he does. that your son had a purpose. And it's been very hard to try to hear that. It makes you angry as a parent. Like, why do you have to take my son? And I'm realizing that my son is saving lives. Because he's kind of been made the face of this whole fight. And I've been made the mom of that whole fight. And he did, I guess this is his purpose. You know, God had a plan and my son's saving lives and I'm educating parents on a national level. And to be able to have the Trump campaign actively pull me in and say, you want to, you know, would you be able to speak at this event? About the border, this town has been a little bit rocked by the border, and, you know, show up and there's President Trump, which I get paralyzed around him. he's just, you know, an amazing person. And he's, you know, he loves us. It's a true love that, you know, and people love him. So it's been an honor to be part of this and to be part of the getting him elected, because I feel like my son's not only saving lives, but he's helping save America.
Well, let me just say this, Ann. It was obvious that God's peace was with you that night. And if you haven't seen Ann's talk at the Republican National Convention, you can Google it just by putting her name in and go back and look at it. You were powerful. You were composed. And it's absolutely amazing as a parent that you had the ability to do it, because it definitely shows that, you know, a lot of our audience, you know, in my life, tragedy, I don't know how anybody can deal with a tragedy without the help of God, if you don't have God in your life, because he is the power that gives us the ability to continue to move on even when we don't feel like it. And he's willing to listen to what you just said about being angry and upset. And God's pretty good at letting us tell him exactly how we feel. So talk about your Christian faith and how did your faith in God, and how is it continuing to move you forward now?
Well, I feel like the first couple of years were very difficult, and it just seemed like pain just kept coming in waves. Two years and 3 months into it is when this opportunity came. For the first time, I feel like I'm kind of standing up and fighting. I don't miss him any less. This doesn't seem like it happened any time other than yesterday. It's fresh. It's still, the loss is just something you don't get over. You see people, like, you know, they bury a parent or something like that. A couple weeks later, they're kind of getting back into life. They're okay. That's not what happens with a kid, with a child. When you lose a child, you never heal from that. And that pain is deep every day. It's not that to be yelling at God is to acknowledge him, even the things that I was saying that I didn't like. I was still acknowledging that he was God. So I don't want to say I ever lost my faith, but I definitely questioned things. You know, who are all these people that are talking about energy? Can my son hear me? Is he with me? Everybody wants to say he's with you. I think my son's with God, and I think, you know, I feel like God's using him. It's, my faith has really been restored, but I wouldn't say it's because of this. I'd say it's just because I'm ready, but this is showing me that this is what God wants for me. I just, you know, it's a daily walk that I have to recommit to, because that anger is still there. Why, God? But I have kind of shifted the way I feel about why. And I think that's the biggest thing. I know that people have thought twice about doing things because they've heard Weston's story. I know he's saving lives. And I know that we are together doing everything we can to save this country, which is God's country. And so I know that this is a path that God wants me on. And I have to trust him. I have to trust him. It's definitely been a painful walk, but one that I'm really trying very, very hard to, you know, keep that faith going. And not every day is going to be easy. A couple weeks ago, we suddenly lost our family dog that was, you know, Weston's dog, and it was tragic and it was sudden. She was only five. She had a splenic tumor that ruptured, and she just we lost her. And my kids, I feel bad for them. They, you know, they're like, what else? You know, why does this keep happening to us? And it's hard. It's hard in those moments to explain to your children, you just got to have faith that God knows what he's doing. Maybe Weston wanted his dog back, what I said. But it is hard when you get shaken and rocked after a tragedy like this. It does. It sometimes puts you in a downward spiral, and you just got to keep getting back up.
Ann Funder's with us on the Roman Gabriel Show, RomanGabrielShow.com. And I want to clarify this for our audience. This is so important. I've heard so many people say that this isn't a red and blue issue. And you've even said this, and others have as well. This is a red, white, and blue issue. Tell me about what that means for you.
Well, I think both sides, you know, need to really figure out and come together on how to deal with this issue. I mean, it has really, for me, I'm glad that I'm on the right side of this fight, because I only see one side really fighting hard for this. There's been a 94% increase in fentanyl deaths since 2021. That says a lot about open borders. 300,000 people without 2024's numbers even in that yet. This number, they're saying the numbers are going down, but there's no programs put in place that would have caused numbers to decrease or decline. Parents are out there having to be, you know, the warriors themselves, because the government certainly isn't doing anything to implement anything, or there's no COVID response to us. So in the past, since 2021, 300,000 people have died on American soil, to me, is irreprehensible. And there's the statistics don't lie. It's now the number one cause of death in young adults.
The Roman Gabriel Show.
Hey everybody, this is Roman Gabriel, host of The Roman Gabriel Show. You know, our mission is much larger than providing you an entertaining podcast. Our country faces an ongoing crisis of underage youth battling alcohol and drug addiction and a rising suicide rate. This problem impacts all of us and our families. Our nonprofit, the Sold Out Youth Foundation, has been my passion since 2003, impacting hundreds of thousands of middle and high school students, challenging them to an alcohol and drug-free life while providing a life-changing interactive online education platform, teaching students valuable life skills and success principles, equipping them to pursue their passion and dreams. I need your help. Our program is successful because of people just like you who financially support our movement. Please give safely and easily today by going to our website at soldouttv.com. That's soldouttv.com, and click on the red donate button. And believe me, any amount will help. Your generous gift can help one more child stay on the right path to health, wellness, and success. Thank you, and be sold out.
The Roman Gabriel Show.
Welcome to The Roman Gabriel Show with host Roman Gabriel. Roman goes up close and personal with high-impact difference makers from the world of sports and entertainment. Yes. Presented by the Sold Out Youth Foundation, official website at soldouttv.com. Welcome back to The Roman Gabriel Show.
And what do you say to people who on one side say that, you know, the influx of 10 to 15 million, people who have come through the border since this administration has been there. And you talk about many times the consequences don't get talked about when you talked about the massive amounts of fentanyl that have been stockpiled in the country. When you talk about what you talked about earlier about bad actors and drug dealers that are being armed with pills, vape, marijuana, you know, hard drugs that they don't know what's in it, and they're still selling it to people as though, you know, there isn't a risk. Child trafficking, crime, you know, murders, rape, all of the things that you know, numbers came out a week ago that are just astounding when you talk about the consequences that the American people have dealt with through this. But I'd like you to personalize it for people when you say, why is it so important to close the border, to have a safe border, and to have a border in the United States? And I know that sounds crazy, but we have an awful lot of people out there who I don't think are getting the information that we're talking about except through a couple of news outlets.
The same reason that you lock your door, the same reason that the White House has a fence around it. It's the same reason that people live in gated communities, because there are dangers and people there are, you know, I would, most people want to come over here for a better life. There's no doubt about that. But there are people that are going to take advantage of that invitation, that open invitation to come here, because there's open borders. And there are very bad people coming over here. They uncovered how many criminals have come over. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it was some number that was absolutely abhorrent. There are bad people that came over. And we have Venezuelan gangs. We have cartel members. Like, the cartels are operating multi-billion-dollar corporations on American soil, and it's killing our own Americans. This is a war. So we need to close those borders. We need to go after the cartels. Steel Team Six them. That's what I say. We need to drop down and obliterate the cartels. We need to deal with China. We need to deal with China because they're sending the precursor chemicals. 150,000 people are employed in China to make these precursor chemicals. They're not the same chemicals that you get in the hospital. These are the precursor chemicals. They're concentrated. They send them over to Mexico. They buy blue pressed pill powder. They press them into pill presses that look identical to pharmaceuticals. They flood over the border. And people can't understand, why would you kill your clientele? I will show you about $400,000 in little blue pills, why, in every single drug bust. That is just the tip of the iceberg of what they're catching.
I was going to ask you that. You said it. I come across people asking me all the time, why in the world would they want to kill their customers? And when you talk to law enforcement and you talk to the Southern Border Patrol and you talk to the DEA, well, there's infinite customers out there. That's not my responsibility to tell them what could possibly be in a pill. Yeah, I'm just being the dealer and getting my product and selling the product. And unfortunately, this is what delineates this between a drug problem and a poison problem is even the bad guys, even the drug dealers don't know, many of them, what's in what they're selling or how.
It is their responsibility to tell their client, but these aren't responsible people. They're predators and they're drug dealers. So that's who we're dealing with. I don't think most people would hire them to work for their company. So these aren't people that are trustworthy.
I thought it was really interesting what Carrie Lake, who's running for Senate in Arizona, said, quotations, this was not an overdose. It was a poisoning.
Yep. And I think I said that too. My son's investigation was a murder investigation. These drug dealers know that it kills people, and they know that they're telling people it's one thing and it's another. That is unscrupulous. Like, you can't tell somebody that they're getting cherry pie and it's, you know, strawberries and, you know, whatever. The difference is that if you went to a bar and you ordered, let's say, a glass of wine, and they gave you grape juice and cyanide, is that fair? Or should the bartender be held responsible for poisoning you? Absolutely. They murdered you. They gave you cyanide and grape juice. If someone slipped a roofie into your Coca-Cola and you're drinking Coca-Cola, is it your fault because you ordered a Coca-Cola? Absolutely not. You were just slipped something that you didn't ask for. That's what these drug dealers are. They know it kills. They know it causes a fatality. That's why it is a homicide investigation when someone dies of fentanyl. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders is awesome. I love her. And I know Governor of Arkansas. And I know Donald Trump will do the same thing. She passed legislation saying, if you sell a fentanyl pill to a child and they die, you're looking at the death penalty. And if it's to an adult, you're at least looking at life in prison with possible death penalty. Her legislation was amazing. I made sure I saw her. She was on the same night that I was at the RNC. She probably thought I was nuts when I walked up to her crying and said, can I give you a hug? She had no idea who I was. I hadn't told my story yet. And I said, I want you to know that your legislation, I hope everyone follows.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's saving lives.
Well, and
people will think twice before they sell to a child, knowing it's
3 weeks ago, I was meeting with Governor Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, in Richmond, regarding our school program. And of course, he and his First Lady Youngkin have, you know, committed to a proactive fentanyl awareness campaign across the state of Virginia. And that's not easy in the state of Virginia with the political issues and what he's up against there, but he did it. And when I sat down in his office and with them and his team, I found out that he was the first governor in the country to dictate fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction.
And I love that.
Which is what it is. Yesterday, I talked to our friend Sam, who with Sammy's Law, who is working across the country to get social networking laws put into place that holds accountable the social networking sites for and puts into place safety precautions for parents on their children's phones to protect them from predators, protect them from drug dealers, to protect them from any illegalities that happen on their phones.
Yep. I'm familiar.
I know that the House is taking this up. I know that he's having success in some red states initially here in getting that out there. So what's
always red state.
Yeah, what's really interesting to me is I'm blown away by you and other parents who didn't just, as you said, grieve and say, you know, now that I've lost my son or daughter, I really don't care, you know, whatever happens to anybody else. All of you are out there proactively in your own way, whether it's legislation, whether it's education, whether it's, you know, speaking, working with organizations like ours to get education material.
Mm-hmm.
All of you are making a difference out there. And what I want to tell parents out there is you need to support this effort. And as a person who deals in school districts, trying to get school districts to do the same thing you're trying to get parents to do, which is to take this seriously
and to
mitigate the risk, because, you know, you were talking about mitigating the risk as a parent. Well, mm-hmm. when you have a school district of 50,000 students that you're responsible for, and you have all of these dynamics we've talked about happening on school campuses, happening to kids on their phones, being coming across their friends who are trusting people that they think that they know and can trust that are giving them pills or vape or marijuana or offering them opportunities. And the other thing in schools that's happening right now is the vape problem, which was a problem before fentanyl because it destroys your lungs. But now kids have been used to ordering and going around the safety protocols on social networking, ordering vape online, which is legal, and not understanding that a lot of these vape products out there can be laced with fentanyl as well.
May happen,
and that marijuana can be laced with fentanyl. And many of these states have legality for marijuana. And one of the questions I had when places like California legalized marijuana was, what would be the impact on our teenagers and our youth because of a legalization of marijuana? So what would you tell superintendents, school board members, about the importance of getting fentanyl education into the curriculum and into their schools and being vigilant with their parents?
Well, it's just, it's very important. It's like teaching them life science, in my opinion. They need to know how this is, you know, a very, you know, life-saving or life-endangerment topic that's going to affect them all. They're all going to be offered at some point. I mean, maybe not 100% of them, but all of them are going to be faced with some sort of peer pressure at some point. I'm not saying that it's going to be with fentanyl, but it might be with marijuana. It might be laced with marijuana. At some point, it's going to happen to them. There was even one that a girl drank water that was laced with fentanyl that someone put in it because they wanted to get her, they wanted to get her on it. So you know, they're preying on your children. The schools need to know that they're going after your kids.
Well, this is the messaging that we've been putting out for 3 years about fentanyl and about drugs and alcohol for the last 25 years, is that the schools have the best opportunity because of their system that they have set up in their schools, a portal that speaks to the parents daily, a portal that speaks to their staff and administration, and then the opportunity to, you know, because their kids are in school and you have them all right there sitting in front of you, the opportunity to educate their kids with research curriculum, with video assisted high profile visual aids to help their children with this. So I want to tell our audience, and you've heard from Ann, and you've heard from other parents through this program and through our website and social sites about how dangerous this is. I want to tell you right now that we have a free resource for you, that you can educate your children and yourself so that you don't become a statistic like Wesley and like many other innocent young children who did not know but are not around today because of one poor decision, regardless of how that decision happened. Go to soldouttv.com. Go to the top right of the page and click on fentanyl education. Take that link. Send that out to your fellow parents, to your loved ones, to your family. Give it to your children on their cell phones. Use that to educate, because our only chance right now, and I will say this comes straight from the DEA, straight from law enforcement, and I think even President Trump would say this, and so would Biden. Bottom line is, you have to right now, even if we close the border today, we have enough fentanyl in the country to kill people, like you said, you know, multiple times.
That's much more than seven now.
So you have to, the only chance we have is a massive education program, community to community, person to person, family to family, parent to parent. So please take the time to use this resource. And there are other resources out there as well. Educate yourself. This is not a hard issue when it comes to educating yourself. It's very simple. Understand what the poison is. Understand what it does. And let's take it one step further, and to people who are out there. There's only one thing that could stop an opioid overdose, and every one of us has the opportunity to be a lifesaver, and that's Narcan naloxone nasal spray. It is a simple nasal spray. You can go online in your district or your county and find out where you can get it. Some places you can get it, like where we live in my county, in three places free from the county health department. Some places you can get it in a pharmacy. It's a simple 4 milligram nasal spray that can stop that opioid from going, you know, penetrating into your body, causing a death. It can save a life and get a person to a hospital where their life can be saved. So it's really important that you understand what that is. And on our site, on the fentanyl education site, there's a video that will walk you through how to administer it, where to get it. And, you know, it's just critical. I mean, what we did with our kids, 42 and 48 with six grandkids, is we gave them the information on fentanyl. We gave them Narcan naloxone. My wife and I carry Narcan naloxone in our car. We carry it in our backpack when we travel. You could be a lifesaver by simply administering that nasal spray. And, you know, we have kids that ask us the question, and I love this. Well, what happens if they're not having an opioid or a fentanyl overdose and I give the nasal spray? Nothing. It's safe. Even if they're not having that, you can take precaution by giving it first to protect a friend, a family member. I know people who have saved multiple people through Narcan naloxone. So there is a way to save people's lives. And fortunately, in California, in LA County schools, they passed legislation about a year ago where every student can carry Narcan naloxone in their backpack. We have other school systems that have made it mandatory to train each school nurse and to have Narcan naloxone in the nurse's office. We have people out there that are making products like fire extinguishers that go up in a display in the main hall of a sheriff's department, a fire department, city hall, the district attorney's office, a public school, where if someone gets trouble, they can crack that and get that nasal spray and save somebody's life, even if it's after school. And let me just give a message to athletic directors and to those that are working with Wesleys out there who love football and basketball and who are playing team sports. You are most at risk. You are after school with your kids. Your trainer, someone on your staff should know and understand the symptoms of a fentanyl overdose and how to give Narcan naloxone, have it on hand. When you're traveling on that school bus to another town to play another team, you need to have that available. And we're not just talking about coming in contact with it through a pill or vape or a drug. We're talking about picking up a piece of paper on the ground that could have something on it. We're talking about touching something that someone who has touched Narcan or fentanyl has on them. So we're not, that's the difference between when people say, And Anne, have you had people tell you, well, this is a drug addict problem. Drug addicts deserve it. They're the ones doing drugs. And if they don't smart enough to deal with it, then dying, you know, that's what happens. Have you had people tell you that?
Yeah. I mean, I think I learned so much about drug addicts, that, you know, they're someone's child, that they had anxiety probably that they were trying to self-medicate. There's two sides to the fentanyl story. There are kids that don't know what they're doing. There's people that, you know, may be addicted, but nobody deserves to die from fentanyl. Not a drug, not someone addicted to drugs already dealing with enough. And so it's not just people who are addicted that,
well, people, you know, don't deserve to die, right? I mean, even if they have an addiction, which is a sickness, or it comes from a genetic problem, or as you said, many kids post-COVID have dealt with desperate anxiety, depression, hopelessness. They've seen people die, their friends, their family. These are results that don't go away by just coming physically back to school. These are core issues that draw kids to try drugs and alcohol, and peer pressure is one of them. Ann Funder's with us on the Roman Gabriel Show, RomanGabrielShow.com. I want to make this quotation. I want you to talk to parents about this. You said this, and I want you to talk to parents who think that they can't be touched by this. And I know I keep harping on this to my audience. You can be touched by it, and you have to come to grips with that you're going to have to be accountable to be a lifesaver for your children and for yourselves by educating them and by talking to them with an ongoing conversation. You said, Anne, my son is gone. The fight is for your children now.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember after my son died, there's no pain in this world. It's unimaginable. The mental pain and anguish that you go through as a parent losing a child. And I remember sitting on my couch right after that going, this can't happen. This cannot happen. So right from the get-go, I had the fighting spirit in me, but I was too weak to stand up. I never wanted it to happen to another child. And I remember feeling that way right off the bat. And that's why this fight for my children too, I still have three others, but I think that knowing what they know and seeing what they've been through, they will never trust, they would never touch anything. I never want to see this happen to another parent. It's pain that I would like to spare you of. This can happen to your child. I am 100% sure that no child is, you know, is unsusceptible to this. And I say that not even mine, but my kids have witnessed it. And I, you know, I wouldn't even, you know, I'm not going to say that it couldn't happen to them, because yes, I'm sure it could, but through education, which they watch me do day in and day out, through all the things that, you know, you can be teaching them, and including Narcan, which blocks the receptor, which, you know, fentanyl blocks the receptor. Narcan, I'm sorry. You probably know more of the science.
Yeah, you're talking about Narcan naloxone as an opioid inhibitor, yeah, stopping the process, yes, of opioids, slowing it down to get people to a hospital.
But I do want to say something about that. Because even if I had Narcan, my son would have died. Because you have to find them struggling. And if they're self-medicating at night in bed after you've said goodnight to them, you're probably not going to find them till morning. So please don't count on Narcan as some sort of harm reduction. I am not a harm reductionist, but Narcan is definitely life-saving. If you can find someone who's struggling, you can administer up to four of them. And if they're going to die, you can keep administering them. It is life-saving, absolutely. It doesn't save everyone. Sometimes people have too much fentanyl in their system.
Well, to give people an idea, Anne, here in North Carolina, in 2023, we had 10,000 Narcan reversals, 10,000 people that are alive today that would not have been. Which is nuts itself to say that. That's reported.
And you know what? I was talking, Derek Maltz was talking about that, who was part of the, you know, he was special ops of the DEA, but he was saying, why aren't we reporting those numbers? Because those numbers should be in it too. Those people who would have died. Why aren't we reporting what Narcan, it is saving lives for sure. So it is very life-saving, but don't ever think that you can use it just because use fentanyl just because you have Narcan, because it won't.
And
I want
son,
parents to know that.
Your son Weston, it was accepting a pill from a friend or a person he knew that he thought he could trust, or peer pressure that caused him to try it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go one step further. I've talked to parents who have lost their children this way, where I'll give you one example. I won't throw out a name, but this woman's son, our daughter, was 19 at a high school in Arizona. She was a gymnast. She had a knee injury. And through that knee injury, she was getting post-operative pain pills. A friend of hers contacted her through TikTok and saw a similar pill that was very cheap and said, you know, you can get that same pill you've been taking for your knee pain right online if you need to. Well, she took her telephone, ordered that pill. And moms and dads, let me just tell you how this works so you know, because this could definitely happen in your home. She got mom's Visa card. She ordered it online from her phone. That those drugs came in a package to the front door, just like any other mail.
Yep.
And she accepted that mail underneath her parents' nose, who didn't know about it. She went to her bedroom that night, took the first pill, and her mother found her, like many stories of others that I've spoken to, the next morning, dead in her bedroom. Like you, she had no idea what had taken place. She had no idea what had happened until she checked her daughter's phone and saw the text between the friend and her. And this was the same pill, looked the same way, had the same markings.
You can't tell the difference.
No, tasteless, odorless, and dead. And so parents, if you don't know what your kids are doing on social networking, if you don't know, you know, they can get around the safety protocols of TikTok and Snapchat easily. And using your credit card, they do that for other things that don't kill them. The bottom line is you have to be vigilant. It's parents' responsibility. And that's what I talk to schools about, Ann, is that it's not the school's responsibility to be the parent. They have to be, because some parents aren't. But we have to get parents engaged. This is life and death. This isn't anymore about, hey, I don't understand that social distancing, the networking stuff. I don't understand the phone. I don't understand the technology thing. Well, you need to. And the bottom line is there are, in our program, there are actually teaching aids to our parents that teach us how to, what social networking is, what TikTok and Snapchat is, how it works, how your kids are approached, how you can be educated. And what it all comes down to, and you've been saying this in this entire time, Ann, is that education empowers us to get out of fear, to get out of stigma, to stop the misinformation. And once we're empowered, all of us are in a position to save somebody's life. It's just like, taking a life-saving course. You know, before when someone was dying on the floor and lost their breath or heart attack, you know, we learn how to do what we need to do to bring them back to life, and we take a course. This is simple because you can take your course right in the privacy of your own home. There are a lot of assets out there, and please go to soldouttv.com, click on the fentanyl education program at the top of the page.
Yeah.
We have made it child friendly. We have given you all the simple things. We've done all the research for you. We've given you the links to a lot of the things that Ann has said. We've even given stories. And this story, I'm so proud to say, we're going to put it on site so you know Ann's story and so you can pass it on to other moms. I don't think there's anything more powerful. You don't want to be one of these parents who has to, and I'll just say this, Ann, like you and other parents, because of the grace of God, that you guys are able to move forward and be a powerful force in putting this information out there. But I've met so many parents who put their head on my shoulder and said, I should have known. I don't know why I didn't know. And they beat themselves up with the shame of blaming themselves for what happened to their child. And nobody wants that. Nobody. And I want to finish with this. Tell me what it's like to have the opportunity in these big Trump rallies to be asked to come out and to speak to thousands of people about your story and to give them the opportunity to hear it, and then to be able to give them something tangible to help them stay away from being a statistic. What's it like at these Trump rallies and what's it like to be out there with so many people who love our country and who want to see things change?
I mean, it's an honor above all. I mean, it's just more than anything, it's an honor. I get to go out there and help our country, help our great president who made our country great. It was only a few short years ago that we all remember, just the thriving America. I get to help him, our great president. I get to educate parents, and I get to help Weston save lives. And I get to do it on a mass level. And that for me is amazing.
Have you met a lot of parents at the Trump rallies have you met other parents that have said that they've lost or had hospitalized children from fentanyl?
No matter where I am, I don't care if there's 15 people in the room or if there's 20,000, people come up to me after and say, thank you so much for talking about this, because I know someone that, or my brother, or, you know, my parents lost, you know, somebody, you know, somebody knows somebody. If you don't actually have someone in your family who's died of fentanyl, you know someone who does.
It's almost like cancer, isn't it? When you know, where you have somebody touched in some way, shape, or form from it. And I would say the same thing. I was at the Super Bowl this last year in Las Vegas in a taxi going to the airport. And the taxi driver asked me what I was in town for. And I told him, you know, about our fentanyl campaign at Super Bowl last year. And he looked at me and he said, I just lost my cousin. Just lost my cousin to fentanyl. You know, I know what you're talking about. It's like everybody you talk to says that they know or have someone in either their immediate family or a friend's family who in some way, shape or form, whether it's a drug addict that's hooked on drugs, that fentanyl was in the drug in their family, whether it was a child like Wesley, Weston, who took an accidental pill, whether it was touching something. We had, for example, a teacher here in our county that put their hand in a pocketbook and it happened to have something in it that had fentanyl on it, and they had to bring her back to life. So, you know, what would be your final words today to parents about this whole subject and how, what they have to do?
Teach your children about peer pressure. Talk to them about never accepting anything, even vapes, where they don't know where, you know, we don't want our kids to do anything. It starts at vapes. It's in marijuana. It's in recreational drugs. And if you're offered something that you think looks real, teach them that it's probably not, and not to trust anybody. And it's better to be alive and say no. But I think the biggest thing is run scenarios. Run, you know, show them Weston's story. Share stories. There's all these stories online. Show them the stories of kids, good kids, who, you know, made one bad decision and, you know, they didn't get to learn from their mistake. They died. But the biggest thing is give them the courage and the strength to say no. That's the biggest thing that I tell people. There's nothing more important than teaching your children to say no.
And, you know, I do want one final thing with Ann Funder right here in the Roman Gabriel Show, RomanGabrielShow.com. Ann, you're a Christian. I have gone into churches with our faith-based fentanyl education program for youth groups and pastors, and I'm disappointed to say that a lot of churches don't see this as a church problem. Could you, as a Christian mom, talk to pastors out there about why the church should take a leadership role in the fentanyl issue?
Well, my son was Christian educated his whole life. He went to Hume Lake for a week. Sometimes if he can go through a different church, he goes twice a summer for a week. His favorite place to go, these church retreats, Wednesday night. He had just actively gotten back involved with the youth group because his other school was too far for Wednesday nights. We couldn't get him there. But when he started public school, he got back into the youth group on Wednesday night. He was really excited about it. He brought his girlfriend with him. And my son is Christian, and it still found him. This is happening to Christian kids. There's no discrimination in this. It's not, you know, this fentanyl will take anyone who, you know, you can get its hands on. So if you think that just because your kids are Christian, they're immune to this, it's not true. And churches really should take more of an active stance in this, because this is, it's an everybody issue. Every race, every religion, there's no immunity with fentanyl.
And I tell pastors, Ann, all the time that, you know, the goal of a church is to meet the needs, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, of their community. And a lot of people today won't walk into a church. We've become a country where a lot of people have stopped going to church. And a lot of our kids that we teach growing up, they go off to college and they stop going to church for whatever reason. What I tell churches is, what a great evangelical opportunity to care for someone's kids enough that you care about them staying alive. And you know how it is. I've been a coach. I've worked in youth groups. I've worked as a with pastors and churches and as evangelists. And when you love on people's kids, you win the right with those parents to be able to speak about your heart and about how much you love God. So yeah, to the church out there, to the church family, we need to take every opportunity we can to protect our community, just like with any other thing. If people need clothes, Jesus gave clothes. If people needed food, Jesus fed them. If people needed spiritual help, he was there spiritually for them. Well, we need to be there for our communities who are losing loved ones. And when you lose a loved one as a parent, you need God. You need someone that cares and loves you for who you are. And no matter how tragic, will be there for you. And you mentioned that today about how God has been there for you, even when you didn't feel like you could do it. And that's how we all feel in whatever tragedy we've gone through. Could you please just tell people how they can follow you and how they can get information if they're a mom or dad who lost a son or daughter?
So Ann Elizabeth US, and with all social media other than Facebook, is Ann Elizabeth F.
Ann Funder with us right here on the Roman Gabriel Show, RomanGabrielShow.com. Ann, thank you for your service to the country, that you're willing to step out and to talk to thousands of people about your son, Weston, and about the story and about how other parents can not be a statistic if they'll just educate themselves. And let me say this again to our audience. Parents, please go to soldouttv.com. Please click on fentanyl education at the top of the page. And as Ann has said, have an ongoing conversation with your kids about peer pressure. Help them understand how fentanyl works and how they're being approached. And take the lead with social networking and their phones, and understand for yourself how to work it, how to know what your kids are doing on it. Be vigilant so that you don't become a statistic. So appreciate you coming in, Ann. We're going to stay in touch any way that we can be of help to you and your organization. And we'll be looking for you out there on the campaign trail with President Trump and giving your message to thousands. And we thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, your emotions, telling us about how your faith means so much to you and how God's been there for you and your family and for your three children. And for Weston on the right there, who was a surfer, go to AFR.net to our podcast at American Family Radio. Go to RomanGabrielShow.com on all the outlets. Go to YouTube at Roman Gabriel Show. And please take the link, whether it's audio or video, and share it with parents, share it with your friends, share it with your church, share it with your pastor. This is everybody's fight and everybody's battle. And Ann, thank you for your messaging, and look forward to meeting you in person on January, the Roman Gabriel event that we're doing out for fentanyl education at UC Irvine on January the 16th in California. You can go to RomanGabrielEvents.com and check that out. That's RomanGabrielEvents.com. And if you want to support it, be available. Ann's going to come out and share her story that night. Being from Southern California in Orange County, I talked to a lot of parents. And as you said, Orange County is a heavily hit area with this problem, a higher percentage than anywhere else in Southern California. So grateful for you, Ann, and look forward to talking to you soon. And we'll be praying for you as you're traveling the country, giving the message.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The Roman Gabriel Show.
Hey everybody, this is Roman Gabriel, host of The Roman Gabriel Show. You know, our mission is much larger than providing you an entertaining podcast. Our country faces an ongoing crisis of underage youth battling alcohol and drug addiction and a rising suicide rate. This problem impacts all of us and our families. Our nonprofit, the Sold Out Youth Foundation, has been my passion since 2003. Impacting hundreds of thousands of middle and high school students, challenging them to an alcohol and drug-free life, while providing a life-changing, interactive online education platform
teaching students valuable life skills and success principles, equipping them to pursue their passion and dreams. I need your help. Our program is successful because of people just like you who financially support our movement. Please give safely and easily today by going to our website at soldouttv.com. That's soldouttv.com, and click on the red donate button. And believe me, any amount will help. Your generous gift can help one more child stay on the right path to health, wellness, and success. Thank you, and be sold out.
Welcome back to the Roman Gabriel Show. Faith, family, sports. Roman goes up close and personal with high-impact difference makers from the world of sports and entertainment. Get more exclusive content at RomanGabrielShow.com. Now, here's your host, Roman Gabriel.
Thanks so much for listening to the Roman Gabriel Show. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave a rating and review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
And remember, you can help us at the Sold Out Youth Foundation by donating. Text Sold Out 20 to 484848. That's Sold Out 20 to 484848. And help us help your students to stay drug and alcohol free.
Listen to the Roman Gabriel Show at RomanGabrielShow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.